Four Buckeyes opt out of the Rose Bowl. Who will step up in their absence? And there is another canceled basketball game for your Ohio State Buckeyes. All that and more in this episode of Locked On Buckeyes.
You are Locked On Buckeyes, your daily podcast on the Ohio State Buckeyes. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
What is up, Buckeyes fans? Welcome back to another episode of Locked On Buckeyes for the Locked On Podcast Network. I'm your host, Jay Stevens, also the host of the Jay Stevens Podcast. It is Tuesday, December 28th in the year 2021, and today's episode is brought to you by Sonos. Sonos is the official sponsor of ESPN College Football. Go to Sonos.com to learn more. I would also like to thank every person out there for making Locked On Buckeyes their first listen of every single day. Last Friday, we talked about the possibility of three Buckeyes opting out of the Rose Bowl. It was nothing definitive at that time, but there was really good belief that the announcement would come very, very soon, that at the time, Haskell Garrett, Nicholas Petit-Frere, and Garrett Wilson would opt out of the 2022 Rose Bowl. Well, on Monday afternoon, that became official. Also, there was a fourth name added to the list of players that have announced that they would not play in this year's Rose Bowl game. The fourth player, Mr. Chris Olave. Two wide receivers, one defensive tackle, one offensive lineman, four players that will be drafted in the upcoming 2022 draft, and this is the route they have decided to take to prepare for the upcoming NFL draft and prepare for their futures as NFL football players. The Olave one was quite interesting. I had somebody text me and said, wait, didn't I just see Olave in practice in a video wearing his practice uniform? That is true. But at the time, that was what happened then. They put it on the social media. The announcement came out that Olave is not playing. These are four very good football players. These are four very good young men. These are four young men that'll make a football team in the National Football League very, very happy really soon. Olave's numbers are amazing. Wilson's numbers are amazing. Haskell Garrett, a lot of his production is not found on the stat sheet, but it is amazing. And similar to Nicholas Petit-Frere, these have been leaders. These have been starters. These are All-Americans. These are players that if you're coming up behind them and you want to see what the proper way to practice, the proper way to go about things, the proper way to lead a team, you can fall right behind all four of these gentlemen and you will see exactly how they did it. And you can pick up some things from them and do some of the very things that they did as well. Some of the most amazing things is I was looking at some numbers before coming on this here podcast, recording it on a Monday evening. Chris Olave and Garrett Wilson, both of them finished in the all-time, in the top 10 all-time in receiving yards, touchdowns, and receptions at Ohio State. All-time receiving yards, Chris Olave number 5, 2,702. Garrett Wilson number 10, 2,213. All-time touchdowns, as we know, Olave is number 1 with 35. Garrett Wilson number 7 with 23. Then all-time receptions at the Ohio State University, Chris Olave number 3 with 175 receptions. Garrett Wilson number 8 with 143. On the season, Chris Olave had a career high in a single season in receptions and a career high in a single season in receiving yards. 65 receptions, 936 receiving yards, also a career high in touchdowns as well in one season with 13. Garrett Wilson, he finishes his Buckeye career in his junior year, also a career high in receptions with 70, a career high in receiving yards, a single season with 1,058, and also a career high in touchdowns in a single season with 12. Haskell Garrett, a gentleman that I have just loved watching play his entire time at Ohio State, a career high this year in tackles with 22, a career high in tackles for loss this year at 7, a career high in a single season with sacks at 5.5. All of those, 22 tackles, 7 TFLs, and 5.5 sacks, those are single season records for Garrett Wilson and Mr. Chris Olave. I mentioned Nicholas Petit-Frere. You can't go without saying, yes, you can look at an offensive tackle stat sheet and you can say, well, he played amazing. But wait, what do the numbers say? You cannot look at a stat sheet or a box score and try to describe or detail exactly how somebody played that's an offensive lineman based off what's in the box score. But one thing you can do, look at the backside of Mr. at now CJ Stroud, last year Justin Fields, and see, is there a lot of pressure from the backside? Is there a lot of pressure from it, where that young man is on the football field? Last year he played right tackle. This year Petit-Frere played left tackle. And you know what? He was one of the solid pieces in this offensive line. These are big holes to fill. Left tackle, will talk about how they're going to fill all four of these holes. Got some solutions. We have seen this throughout the season. So it's not really as wild as it might be, but it's still very wild when you're losing four of these individuals. I'm just going to be honest with you. I thought after last week, after I listened to Steve Hellwagon from 24/7 Sports and Bucknuts.com, listened to Tony Gerdeman from Buckeye Scoop, and then also Kevin Noon from Buckeye Scoop, I thought that all three of those guys were going to opt out. Me, based off what I saw on the social media between Olave and practice over the weekend, the final practice before departing for Pasadena, and then even on Monday, him being in the video in his practice uniform, I thought Olave was going to play. That's not the case. You're losing your top two wide receivers, losing a left tackle, losing a D tackle. Big losses, but I can't wait to see what these individuals, what these young men do once they get to the National Football League, where they will go in the NFL draft. We'll have draft talk, draft coverage all offseason long, also filtering in more basketball talk. Assuming Ohio State gets back on the basketball court, I believe they will. Just not sure when that's going to happen. But these four, losing them for the Rose Bowl, some say it's expected. Well, sometimes when things are expected, when reality hits, it's like, wait, we really have to hunker down. We really got to put ourselves together, put our thinking caps on, what as my librarian said when I was in elementary school, and figure this thing out quick, fast, and in a hurry. The coaches can do that. Us as fans, analysts, talking heads, if those of you that are talking heads listening to this, we can also admire and appreciate what these four gentlemen, Chris Olave, Garrett Wilson, Nicholas Petit-Frere, and Haskell Garrett, have brought to the Ohio State football program and what they will leave behind and what the youngsters can take from them as they move forward leading the program. You are tapped into Locked On Buckeyes here on a Tuesday, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every single day. I was checking the YouTube, and those of you that have been checking out the YouTube lately, thank you. The numbers have been going up, but the podcast is not at 500 subscriptions. You can go on the YouTube and check out the current number. I believe it's at 460 or 461. It's Tuesday. There's a few days between now when you're watching this and, or if you're listening to this, if you're doing it via the audio version, and the game kicking off on Saturday. By kickoff on Saturday, kickoff of the Rose Bowl, I would love to challenge you to get the subscription number over 500 subscriptions. Would love to have it at over 1,000 subscriptions by the beginning of next football season, really by the end of basketball season. Let's push for that very quickly. As more people watch, as more people view, let's hit that subscribe button to help this thing grow with your help. So with four guys opting out of the Rose Bowl, the immediate thought is, how do you fill those holes? I'm going to start on defense first, since there's one player. Spend more time talking about the offense. The offensive line and the defensive line, not really the craziest things in the world when you think about how they're going to fix or fill that hole, because we have seen both on the offensive line and the defensive line, players like Haskell Garrett, Nicholas Petit-Frere, be moved around throughout the season. And so we have seen somewhat how they're going to fill those holes. The offense, though, very, very interesting. When it comes to defense and filling the hole of not having Haskell Garrett on the field, a lot of love Tyleek Williams. I love watching Williams play. Who believes defensive tackles for this game will end up being Antoine Jackson and Teron Vincent. Almost said Jerron Cage. Jerron Cage has been playing very, very well when he's on the field, but I do think it'll be Antoine Jackson Jackson at the nose tackle, Teron Vincent at the defensive tackle or three technique spot where Mr. Haskell Garrett plays. I got to write this down so I don't forget what I'm going through now. A lot of this stuff is coming from off the top of the dome. That's how a lot of the things have gone. I've been putting more notes down lately. We're going to put notes down together as we go through. Haskell Garrett out, Teron Vincent in. At left tackle for Ohio State, this is the one that's kind of self-explanatory. We have seen it during the season. I believe we're going to see it once again. At left tackle, I simply believe Thayer Mumford moves to left tackle. I do believe Matt Jones moves to left guard. Luke Whipler at center. Paris Johnson Jr. at right guard. And then DeJuan Jones at right tackle. I do not believe the center guard tackle going from middle to the right changes at all. It's simply Thayer Mumford moving to the left tackle position, the spot that he started in last year, and the spot that I do believe he'll be playing in the National Football League, him moving back out to his more natural position, the position that I think he should have played all year long to help with the run game. And then Matt Jones comes in right there at left guard. Donovan Jackson, I believe. Donovan Jackson would be a phenomenal piece, but he has not played very much, if at all, this season. I do believe it's Matt Jones at left guard. Thayer Mumford goes to left tackle. NPF, Nicholas Petit-Frere is not there at all. The interesting spot to me is the wide receiver position. Because you got GW, Garrett Wilson, you got Chris Olave, you got Jaxon Smith-Njigba, who has been a starter all year long. And in my mind, I am wondering, simply just wondering, does Ohio State move Jaxon Smith-Njigba to the outside, bring in Emeka Egbuka in the slot, and put in Julian Fleming or Marvin Harrison Jr.? I think right now in the depth chart, Julian Fleming is going to be more of that outside receiver. We saw him play, Michigan State game? I believe Michigan State game he played, caught a touchdown pass, and he's been battling injuries for a very long time. I am curious. I have a thought about what they're going to do, but I'm curious about what the coaches will do. You can move Jaxon Smith-Njigba on the outside, but he's been so lethal at that slot, even though two outside guys are not there. There might be a thought, and a move by Brian Hartline, to simply just leave him there. Leave him there. Let him cook. He's been there all year long. You know what you're going to get from him right there in the slot. Now, it's going to be a little bit different because the two outside guys that got a lot of attention and the two outside guys that really helped him get a lot of one-on-one coverage and not get all the attention. Now all eyeballs, Jaxon Smith-Njigba, they're on you. I don't know if the coaches knew that Olave was going to opt out and they still allowed him to practice and go along things with the team. I have no idea. I do think internally they have known for a while what players are going to opt out, what players are not going to opt out. There was talk that Garrett Wilson was not practicing. Of course, when we don't get inside scoops, inside look at practice, we can't say with our own two eyes, I witnessed practice. I did not see Garrett Wilson there at all. So I don't know what they're out there going to do, what I think would be the right move. Julian Fleming coming in, Marvin Harrison Jr. coming in, and keeping Jaxon Smith-Njigba right where he is. Fleming can play on the outside. You can have Marvin Harrison Jr. on the outside. Inserting Emeka Egbuka into the mix. Yes, if they went four wide, that would be great. I would not be surprised if they play four receivers. This is what I think will probably be more concretely done. Four receivers, Jaxon Smith-Njigba splits time between the slot receiver and the outside receiver. Marvin Harrison Jr. and Julian Fleming get most of the run at the two outside receiver spots. And then Emeka Egbuka gets sprinkled in there as well. He could be a change of pace. He could also be somebody that in trick plays, little trickeration, he can come in there at the slot and do some different things there that Jaxon Smith-Njigba can't do. Marvin Harrison Jr. can't do, and also Julian Fleming can't do. So instead of just inserting two guys, I think we'll see an insertion of three, still primarily three wide receivers on the field at one time. I am very curious. Did not know we're going to go this route right now. We'll talk more about this coming up tomorrow, I believe. How is Ryan Day going to utilize the tight ends? Because we saw towards the end of the season, going away from the two tight end set with Ruckert and Stover, I don't think was the wisest decision for him to make. It really messed up the run game, especially with a physical team like Utah. You saw what happened with a physical team like the team up north. When you get a physical team like Utah, does he go back to those two individuals, Stover and Ruckert, the pre-snap motion that was obsolete, not really there much at all against Michigan? Get back to what's working, baby. I get your two outside guys, the guys that get a lot of attention, aren't there right now. But get back to what's working. This is an easy way to get back to the basics. Just put the right guys on the field, call the right plays, pre-snap, post-snap. It'll make things a whole lot easier for you with two guys that have been focal points of the offense all year long, not being on the field. BetOnline has you covered all season for more props, odds, and lines than ever before as football season continues the march to the playoffs. BetOnline remains your number one spot for all the sports action this season. Head to our new updated desktop or mobile website to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just use our promo code LOCKEDON, LOCKEDON, and it's all one word to receive your bonus. From basketball, football, NHL, boxing, and UFC, right to your favorite Vegas casino games. Don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2021 season. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports. BetOnline, where the game starts. Thank you, thank you, thank you, everyone, for tuning in to this Tuesday episode of Locked On Buckeyes, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every single day. Once again, I want to remind you to make sure and thank everyone that does make Locked On Buckeyes their first listen of every single day. Coming up on Thursday, I believe, planning on doing another crossover episode with Brian Brown from Locked On Utes, a more of a deeper look into previewing the matchup on New Year's Day. Also on Friday, my guy, our guy, Jeff Hunt from the Off the Ball Network. The plan is to have him with us on Friday's show, recording on Thursday. I'll let you know if we'll go live. I'll announce that on Wednesday's show. But he'll be with us to give us our final preparation for this game. Can't get too deep into what I think will actually happen, will be the outcome. But as of right now, recording this show, your boy's a little bit nervous. That's all I will say. It's been a day full of news for your Ohio State Buckeyes. It was, I want to say, afternoon time. Once again, probably 12, 1 o'clock, I look down at my phone. The next thing that I know, or that I see, Ohio State's basketball game on today has been canceled. I'm pulling up right now the official statement from the Ohio State Buckeye Athletic Department. The men's basketball game versus New Orleans was canceled. Here's word for word the press release that came out regarding the announcement that the Buckeyes would have another canceled basketball game. This is the third canceled game in a row. Quote, "The Ohio State men's basketball game versus New Orleans on Tuesday, December 28th, has been canceled because of player health and safety concerns within the Buckeye basketball program. Our guys are progressing through the COVID return to play protocols well, but we just don't have the numbers of readiness to play a game yet," said Ohio State coach Chris Holtman. Player safety as it relates to COVID as they return to play after a significant time off will always be a top priority. The program has resumed team activities and is preparing to play this Sunday at Nebraska. All fans who had purchased tickets to the game through the Ohio State Ticket Office and Ticketmaster.com will be refunded and will receive direct communication via email with more information," end quote. This is not fun at all. Imagine putting yourself in a player's shoes. I understand why this announcement has coming down, but let's go a little bit deeper into the mind. We talk about 18 to 22-year-old young men, brains, minds, bodies are developing. Well, let's go a little bit deeper into this announcement and imagine how this might impact an E.J. Liddell, a Jimmy Sotos, a Justice Suing, who is still getting better. This theoretically could have been a gamer. He is back. We don't know when he's coming back just yet. Also, so many other players. Think about this. You're a young man. Before the season, this league, Big Ten, says, hey, Ohio State, you kind of monitor your own COVID protocols. We trust you. You're one of our member institutions. You go ahead and monitor your COVID protocols. Ohio State, the university, has put down different rules in place. One of them, as everybody knows that has been to a game, masks have to be worn at games. So be it. That's a rule that they have put down. They've also enforced a vaccine mandate. Got it. You're a student. You're on campus. Vaccine mandate. Got it. Okay, so these are the things that the players are currently doing because they're students at the Ohio State University, and there's a mandate there for them. You're inside a building. Mandate. Vaccine. Got it. Boom. So they're doing everything they're being asked to do. Also, they hear news about a booster coming out. Now, wait. There's a waiting period between you getting your second dose of the COVID vaccine, or maybe if you're J&J, you're only getting the one dose, but there's still a waiting period in between you getting your COVID vaccine before being able to get your booster shot. So they know all of those things. Team's fully vaccinated. Team will get the booster down the road. They're doing everything that they're being asked to do. The next thing that happens, boom, boom, boom. 3 games in a row are canceled. I don't care if it's all cupcakes or all of them are against top-tier talent like the Kentucky Wildcats. Anytime a game gets canceled, it really affects and impacts the young men that are on the team. Young women, if it's a female sport, or if there's a female that is coaching a male sport, it really affects and impacts these young men. I feel bad for them. There's also something, a normal tradition at the Rose Bowl, I forget exactly the right name of this tradition, but that has been canceled. There are things that are happening right now in Pasadena that are being canceled. Basketball games have been canceled. I recorded a show with Nate Dickinson from Locked On Big Ten, co-hosting the Monday show, and there were at that time, when we recorded, 10 games, 8 had been canceled, 2 had been postponed, and simply the Big Ten Basketball Conference. And now Ohio State, the 3rd game. These young men, I feel really, really bad for them. You come to a school to play basketball. You do everything that you're being asked to do to play the basketball, to play the games. The next thing you know, all 3 games are being canceled because of things that are happening inside your basketball program while you're following those rules that have been put down with you. I feel bad for them, man. I feel bad. They didn't ask for this. No, nobody asked for this. Nobody knew what was going to come in 2019, wherever that little virus came from, the origination, the origin spot of where that is. Nobody asked for that. Nobody asked for Omicron to come in. Nobody asked for these rules to be put in place. Nobody asked for that. But they're simply doing what's being asked of them. And the next thing they know, due to positive tests that they didn't think was going to happen during this year's basketball season, back-to-back-to-back cancellations. It's really unfortunate. It's not fun to think about the young men that are playing the basketball having games canceled. Hopefully, they will be back on the court very, very soon. There is some good news. Now, this is something that Adam Jardy from the Columbus Dispatch, he retweeted a tweet from the Associated Press, where they are currently going to be lowering, I'm trying to get the exact thing up. They're going to be lowering the CDC recommendation for COVID vaccination. I'm just going to read it to you. A vaccinated individual who tests positive for COVID-19 may complete isolation when one of the following occurs, if permitted by local and state public officials. Once asymptomatic, the individual has 2 negative tests from specimens that are collected at least 24 hours apart, or at least 7 days have elapsed since the first positive test. The individual's symptoms are improving, and the individual has 1 negative test. Such an individual must be fever-free for at least 24 hours to be cleared under either of the above options. This is something that I do believe Big Ten's might implement or might adopt. The ACC is going to adopt that very thing. And in the midst of what's going on right now, all the canceled games, I understand people out there are going to have their own opinions about what is going to be done. But I do think when we're almost 2 years, basically 2 years deep into this thing, I say almost, no, we're 2 years deep into this thing, things are going to continue to evolve. Protocols are going to continue to evolve. Will protocols down the road impact and say, wait, the improved or altered protocols are going to help us not cancel games? And that's to be determined. But one thing, another thing I think is a part of the reason why this team is currently not playing tonight, not only is it COVID and positive test, but there needs to be some type of ramp up period or conditioning period or a certain amount of practices that need to be completed before a team goes back on the court. I heard Chris Holtman at the beginning of last week, he stated that the team would have possibly have two-a-days on the 26th, the day after Christmas. The basketball team only practiced for 1 hour. Now, due to consultation with those in part of the medical staff at the Ohio State University, all of those things go hand in hand. But I do think that plays a big part. You can't just take a week and a half off all of a sudden and come back, practice for an hour, have a practice on a Monday, and then you can. But we know how big safety is right now, not just the health and safety with the viruses going around, but also the health and safety of the body of the athlete when they're playing, when they're not playing, if games are canceled. The NBA has it. College should adopt a universal rule. X amount of hours or practices need to be completed after a team has suspended team activities before a team can return to the court to play a basketball game. It's unfortunate. Don't like talking about cancellations. Don't like thinking about what's going on through the young men and young women's minds as games are getting canceled. But that's the way things are going right now. All we have left to do is hope, literally hope, the Buckeyes take the court this Sunday against Nebraska. Guys, this is fun. A Tuesday show, talking a little about the Rose Bowl. We'll get more in depth about the offense tomorrow. Hinted a little bit about the two tight end sets, 12 personnel, one running back, two tight ends that I hope we see over the weekend. What else should we see from Ohio State in the Rose Bowl? Come back tomorrow to find out. As always, you can follow me on Twitter at jstevens07. You can also send all of your emails to jstevens317@gmail.com. For Jay Stevens, this is Locked On Buckeyes on a Tuesday. Have a great day.